y'all could, if you would, go to Matthew chapter 7. We're going to continue to talk about fruit. And because when you talk about fruit, and if you just do it, and you know about giving and doing good fruit. But anyway, Tammy and myself, we were listening to James Robinson the other day. And there was a pastor, his name was Mark Gunger. Anyway, he's got a book, and he says, and the name of this book is Love Your Husband Like a Dog. Now, when you think about love your husband like a dog, you're like, what in the world is he talking about? And, yeah, treat your husband like a dog. I'm sorry. Treat your husband like a dog. Yeah, I heard that. And so, James said, you're going to have to explain that one to me. He said, well, it's like this. He says, if you take your wife and your dog and you lock them in the trunk for 30 minutes, then when you go and you unlock the trunk, who's happy to see you? One's wagging their tail and the other's wagging their tongue. So he's saying it's a marriage book, you know, and it's about marriage and relationships. But it is about really what I thought about paradigm, because when he first said, treat your husband like a dog, there was no way I was going to get that out of what he was saying. I was like, man. And then, but to see how, you know, he was talking about marriage and how we are to go the extra mile. Someone came up to me after the service last week, and they talked about some of the things that they got out of the Great Commission. And because really and truly, really, you know, for most of us, in Matthew 28, in the Great Commission, we always were taught it's about getting people saved. You know, in the Scriptures, when you go through that, you don't even see that. But what happens is in the walking of making disciples bad, you're going to have someone, they're going to give their life to the Father. Amen. They're going to bring their self, because salvation is the very, I mean, that's our first step. Amen. So I just want to make sure everybody knows that we're not overdoing that, you know, or negating that in any form or fashion, because it is a work. But I like the way that this person broke it down. They said a disciple is a student or a learner. Baptizing or mikvah is the gift of purity and holiness. And teaching Torah is naturally instructions of what to do. So it says, we are to make students of all the nations, bringing the gift of purity and holiness, enabling the learner to remain clean and draw closer to Yahweh by the Torah. I wish I could have said that. Amen. But that was really awesome, the way that that was summed up. And I asked them to give that back to me. And so they emailed it to me and I wrote it down. So I wanted to put that up there as we're going through this about fruit. Because we are to make students. That's what we're doing here today, making students. Baptism is about purity and holiness. It's about death, burial, and resurrection. That's why we not only do it one time. He'll say sometimes do your first works over. That's why a lot of times we'll go during the time of Tashlit. Because, you know, when we're around this world, sometimes we just get dirt on us. We may not be impure as for spiritually, but sometimes there's just a lot of yuck that gets on us, and sometimes we need a cleansing. So a mikvah is awesome for that. And then here again, the whole idea of this system here, the way the Father put it out there, is for one thing. Sin separated us from Yahweh, our Heavenly Father. Sin separated. The death, burial, and resurrection of Yeshua brings us back in a way back to where we can draw back close to Him. Okay, amen? So with that, we want to continue to roll with that. So as we go to Matthew chapter 7, I'm going to look at verse 12, and it says this. And we're going to go slow here. So whatever you wish that others would do to you, stop. Whatever you wish that others would do to you, how many have ever seen Winnie the Pooh? Don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed. If you got children, I know you. Winnie the Pooh, he would always, when he'd get in trouble, he would go, think, 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 think. And he would always say, what would Christopher Robbins do? What would Christopher Robbins do? how can I get that honey? Because he was all about getting the honey, right? Oh, think. So I thought about that. So whenever you wish, or whatever you wish others would do to you, do also to them. A lot of times, whenever we're getting ready to do something, we really need to think. Because what we're fixing to do, would we want that done to us? That's why I'm saying when we get in this mode, we need to think. We need to think because a lot of times we're motivated about getting back, revenge, or whatever may happen, getting even, what we call getting even. Has anybody ever gotten even? No, nobody gets even because you're going to have to do one thing up. You won't usually do back exactly what they do to you. What do you usually do? You one-up them. That's right. Somebody throws a firecracker at your feet, Ryan Howard, and it pops. Bow! The next person wants to put it in his pocket and let it go off. Bow! You know, you just keep rolling because you keep wanting to go the next step. That's the way it usually happens. So what Yeshua is saying here is, whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them. For this is the law and the prophets. So he's telling us this is the very Tanakh. And really what that sums up is to love your neighbor as yourself, is what he's saying. So he's telling us that whatever we start to do, we need to think. We need to ponder before we throw out our actions. Because we do reap what we sow. And we reap more than we sow, and we will reap in a different season than we sow. So guess what? Remember, we're talking about fruit. We're talking about seed. So if you sow good fruit and good seed, you will reap good fruit and good seed back. There's a lot of times in my life that things will happen, and I'll think in my mind, I'll get like Winnie the Pooh. I'll try to figure out, what did I do? And I usually have to go back 3 months, 6 months, or whatever before to really find out what grew in my life. Something's not going right. Number one, did I sow something that is now growing and I'm reaping and I'm getting ready to eat it? And so you see what I mean? That's why we're going to get to another portion in Scripture where it talks about forgiving one another. We're coming into this Passover season and it's going to be upon us before we know it. And so in our life, this is why we always say this, about every 6 months, there's things in our life that we have to deal with. There's always something else that the Father is revealing or showing about our attitudes, about whatever's going on in our life. So the very first verse, whatever you wish that others would do to you, this is what we need to be doing to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Because look what he says here, enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy. It leads to destruction, and those who enter it are how many? A lot of people. It says many. Verse 14 says, for the gate is narrow. Now, what is a gate? We got this word gate going on. A gate is an opening. A gate is an opening for us to go into. So guess what? There is not an option. We're going to walk through one of these gates. We will either walk through a narrow gate, or we're going to go through a wide gate. Okay? And he says this, for the gate is narrow and the way is hard. And this is what most of us don't like. What is the hard way? The hard way is really one thing, is denying our flesh. That's what's hard. Denying our flesh is the hardest thing to do. Because the flesh wants what it wants. When it wants, how it wants. And it doesn't want to wait. The flesh is that way. This is what struggles. In this walk, even, we've gone through this many, many different times. When somebody's new to a walk, then we have family. We have friends because it's different. You know, do you know what you're doing? Are you in an occult? Are you denying Jesus? Are you doing this? It just goes on and on. If you ever notice, the closer you get to Yeshua, really, the harder it is. Go ask Peter. Because Peter, who loved him more than any of them, denied him when the pressure was on. That's why he's saying, guys, I'm telling you it's not easy. He's already telling you it's not easy. Because most of us, especially in this world system that we live, pleasure is everywhere. You can buy pleasure. You can see pleasure. You can QVC pleasure. You know, you can eBay pleasure. Whatever you think that will fulfill, you can, pleasure's all around. But to turn around and deny your flesh something, it's easy to deny your flesh something that you don't do or you don't want. But certain cravings hit us. And you know what? The Father, every cycle, if you will let Him, take one of those cravings. If you can grab them all, just stand up and glow. Amen? But He works, like I said before, we're like an onion. He peels one layer at a time. Let Him get that one layer until He finally gets down to the core. Because if we don't give up and if we don't grow faint and weary in doing good, and that's what He tells us not to do, if we will continue this walk, the thing about it is we will get down to the pure heart of worship in everything. Amen? So He tells us that it's going to be hard that leads to life. And those who find it are how many? Few. See, He's already given us answers to the question. When it's all said and done, there's going to be a few versus a lot of people. Verse 15 says, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing and inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by what? Their fruits. We've been talking about fruits last week. So you will recognize them by their fruits. Recognize who? The false prophets. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? So I want to be careful here because I don't want to be judgmental, okay? The thing about it is, and I've always said this before, I only know what I've been taught, okay? So it is a process of learning and growing, and that's why we don't want to condemn those who are behind us, because guess what? There were blinders on my eyes, just like there's blinders on, they can't see what they can't see. But the thing about it is if we will give them good fruit, if we will continue to let them eat of the tree of good, I mean, of tree of life, not the tree of knowledge of good and evil, but the tree of life, if we can continue to keep feeding them that with great attitudes, knowing, already knowing where we used to be. You see what I'm saying? And hopefully and prayerfully, at one day, at one time, there's going to be an awakening, and they're going to come to you with fire, and they're going to come to you with all of this, man, the Torah, don't you know about the Torah? And you're going to say, I've been telling you that for 5 years. And then they're going to tell you with excitement about the Sabbath. Did you really know this about the Sabbath? You know what I'm saying? And then we just have to say, you know, isn't the Sabbath awesome? You know? Because that is really the way it is. It's the way it's going to be. Because when it really lights up, they will have the excitement then. Don't give up. Keep praying and keep pressing through. Verse 17, he says this, so every healthy tree bears good fruit, and the diseased trees bear bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, just like a diseased tree can bear good fruit. Let every tree that does not bear good fruit, guess what it's done to it? It's cut down and it's thrown into the fire. This is the way I'm looking at that. There's many different ways you can look at this. But Yeshua said that He is the vine and we are the branches. So He's the tree. We're the branches that hang off of His tree. Yahweh Himself with the Holy Spirit is the root system and all the nourishments that come up into Yeshua. And the Yeshua, through that, are branches. But where does the fruit hang from? The branches. So we are to bear the fruit of the very root system that the whole earth is, which Yahweh, the Holy Spirit, Yeshua, they entail everything. And then from there, we come off of that. And when we come off of that, then what are we to speak? The very fruit that we bear should be Yeshua. The very fruit that people eat of our lives should be Yeshua. Not me, not Mark, or not Tammy, or not Kay, or not anybody, because we're not going to, I don't have any life in me. Yeshua is where the life is. But the thing is, but by being tagged into the branches, now I'm full of life. Because of why? Not because of me, because the branch can't do nothing. Cut a branch off, and what's it good for? Firewood. You know what I'm saying? So unless I'm into the tree, I have no life in itself, so I can't brag. That's what Paul was saying. I can't brag. If I lay hands on somebody and they're healed, I can't brag. It isn't me. It's because I'm plugged into the source. So we as branches being plugged into the source, if we're plugged into Yeshua, then we're going to bear the fruit of Yeshua. We will bear the fruit of this Torah, and that's what he's telling us to do. That's why we have to be careful. A lot of ministries, and this is, you know, they've cut themselves off from the tree, and they started their own ministry. And then they will have a ministry, and then they're about getting money in and buying Bentleys and Corvettes and Harleys and all of that stuff. And then, you know, they're saying good things. But the thing about it is it Yeshua things that they're saying? Because he's telling people right here. I didn't make this up. He says, beware of false prophets. So I'm going to let you answer that. What is a false prophet? Someone who is not teaching the Torah. There's a lot of people that will teach things in ignorance. I used to teach things in ignorance. I didn't know. I had misunderstanding of this word. But as the Father brings us understanding, then we can correct it. We can repent and do the best we can to say I was wrong. Because guess what? I had a lot of wrong concepts in the early days. But the thing about it is that's why I say by his grace and what I understand it to be now, you know, leave it open, because guess what? We don't know everything yet. And he is steadily teaching us. But I will tell you this, as you walk it out, revelation comes. As you're walking it out, revelation comes. Being grafted into the tree, being walking out in Yeshua, being a branch of a tree, which is him, then if we don't cut it off, we can allow the leaves to grow and the fruit to grow. Amen? This is what he was showing me in this teaching. Let's go to Luke chapter 13, verse 6. Timmy, do you have that? I'm going to let you read 6, 7, 8, 9 in Luke 13 if you got it.
And he began telling this parable. A man had a fig tree which had been planted in his vineyard, and he came looking for fruit on it, and it did not have any. And he said to the vineyard keeper, behold, for 3 years I have come looking for fruit on this fig tree without finding any. Cut it down. Why does it even use up the ground? And he answered and said to him, let it alone, sir, for this year too, until I dig around it and put in fertilizer. And if it bears fruit next year, fine. But if it does not, cut it down.
In this parable here, you can pull different things out of this. But in light of what we were teaching, verse 6, because it is a parable, the man, who is Yahweh himself, had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, because Yahweh owns the vineyard. He came seeking the fruit on it, and he found none. Now he said to the vine dresser, Yeshua here would be the vine dresser. He said, look, for 3 years, I have come seeking fruit from this fig tree. Let's go to Leviticus 19, 23 and 24 and 25. Leviticus 19, 23, 24, 25. Because I thought it was interesting in this parable, and then we'll go back to Luke, where Yeshua being the vine dresser, he said, look, for 3 years now, this is Yahweh saying to the vine dresser, for 3 years now, I have come to seek fruit from this fig tree, and I found none. Cut it down. Why should it use up the ground? And I thought about this, what he said about the trees here in 23. And it says, and when you shall come into the land, you shall have planted all manner of trees for what? For food. These are trees that are for food. What are you eating this food? You're eating the fruit of the trees, okay? So he's saying you're planting these trees, all manner of trees, and they're for food. Then you shall count the fruit thereof as uncircumcised. For how long? 3 years shall it be uncircumcised unto you, and it shall not be eaten. In the fourth year, all the fruit thereof, and I'm reading out of King James because I printed it that way, shall be holy to praise Yahweh withal. In other words, it is an offering that goes to Yahweh. So you see, 3 years there's a tree. Even though there's fruit on it, you're not to touch it because it's uncircumcised or it's not mature yet. And then he says in the fourth year is the year that it is belongs to Yahweh. Let all the fruit fall to the ground. It belongs to him as an offering back to the earth. Then in 25 he says this, but in the fifth year you shall eat the fruit thereof, that it may yield unto you the increase thereof. I am Yahweh Elohim. Now let's go back to Luke. So you see here that there is a commandment that deals with the fruit trees, or all manner of trees that bear fruit. And there's a 3-year period. And I thought it was very interesting that in this parable that he used, I've been coming here looking for fruit for 3 years and I'm not finding anything. So he's showing you that there's not even anything going to the ground. So guess what? If there's not going to be anything for the fourth year. But Yeshua, because we see this with Moses. How many times did Moses, when Yahweh wanted to just eradicate and stamp out Israel, how many times did he intercede for them and said, give them one more chance. Give them one more chance. And then Moses said, there would be a prophet like me that would come. And so now you see the vine dresser, you see Yeshua who's making intercession for us saying, give them one more chance. Give them one more chance. And this is what he was saying. Verse 8, he said, and he answered him, and he says, sir, he says, let it alone this year also until I can dig around it and put on manure. In other words, I'm going to dig around it, loosen the soil. I'm going to fertilize it. I'm going to give it special care. Most of the time when you see fig tree, really, fig tree is, Israel is representative of fig tree. But you can even see here where Israel was not doing what they were supposed to be doing. He was ready to cut it down again. Verse 9 says this, then if it should bear fruit the next year, the fourth year, well and good, because it will be holy unto you. But if not, you can cut it down. So you can see here that in this parable, where the Father has a desire to work with his people. But I have to say this too. I've seen this over and over and over again in people's lives where the Father has brooded over them, brooded over them, brooded over them, and they just said no until he withdrew his spirit from them. Just like you was talking about what we prayed for a while ago. People who you once knew turns into an atheist. People who once walked away or understood backslid to a place that they can't find their way back. Now, I'm not saying that these people can't find their way back, but the Father, you know, he's saying, guys, when we accept him, we need to get with the program. This is what he's saying. When we accept him as our Lord and Savior, we should be moving on the things of Yahweh. We shouldn't be like we were before. We shouldn't be keep fighting the same old battles when the victory's already been won. This is what he's saying. Will we have our mind renewed? Absolutely, because we got stinking thinking. That's what this is about. But we should be gaining ground. We should be bearing some kind of fruit. It may not be a lot, but it needs to be something in our lives. Some of us will bear more fruit than others. But sometimes some of us struggle more than others spiritually. That's just the way it is. Why? Because you're battling the flesh. When we can't tell the flesh no, so guess what? You don't have as much fruit as you might, but you keep fighting. You keep fighting because the vine dresser is going to fight for you, and he's going to keep digging, and he's going to keep pouring the fertilizer into you. How is he doing? He's making intercession between us and the Father. He's our high priest. He's not letting us go. He's like Moses. He wants us to succeed. Get a bud. You know what I'm saying? Get a little something. Get a little something going in our life is what he's saying. And next year, get a little more, get a little more, get a little more. That's what he's trying to teach us. Let's go to Mark chapter 11. Y'all see that up there? That word is to quash. Y'all know what a to quash is? Now look, I want to tell y'all right off the bat, I'm not a figologist, okay? I planted the fig trees up there at the camp in that deer patch. Deer ate that dude first thing, you know what I'm saying? So I'm not a figologist, if that's a word. Is that a word? Probably not. But this is a to quash. I want you to, when I read this, it'll make sense. Because in this account here was in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. But only in Mark did he say something about it wasn't yet for the season for figs. Okay? And that's why I picked this passage. Verse 12. On the following day, when they came to Bethany, he was hungry. Yeshua was hungry. And in seeing in the distance a fig tree in leaf. So he's walking. He sees in the distance, there's a fig tree. How does he know it's a fig tree? Because he created all things. But definitely he could tell by the leaves that it was a fig tree. It says, he went to see if he could find anything on it. He did not say he went to see if he could find figs on it. He said, I went to see if I could find anything on it. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves. What does the next say? For it was not the season for figs. That always bothered me. Why would he curse a tree when it wasn't even time for figs? I mean, how are you going to get something when it ain't time for something? And that bothered me until I learned about a to quash. Let me read about what a to quash is. Well, let me just tell you what a to quash is. There's a guy named F.F. Bruce. He wrote from a minister years and years ago, W.M. Christie. I'm giving you this because this is where I learned it from. What a to quash is, they call it an early fig. What will happen is when you have a leaf, you'll have these little dudes. Now, for me and you, when you walk up there, that dude looks like a fig. But when you eat that, it don't taste like a fig. But it is still good for food. They call them early figs. But when you walk up to a tree that's got leaves on it, usually you'll start seeing these little buds first, these little quashes, these little early figs. You will see it first. And then you'll see the leaves coming around it. The peasants and the people who were hungry during that day, when they would walk along and they were hungry, they would go to a fig tree, they would eat these little things. But Yeshua was going because he was hungry and he didn't find any of these little things on the tree. Because if you don't find these on the tree, then there won't be figs on the tree. This is a precursor to the fruit that's coming. So what he was saying is when he went to the fig tree, because he didn't see the tuquash on there, he didn't see the early fig on there, he didn't see them little buds on there, then he knew that that tree was barren and it wasn't going to bear fruit. That's why he cursed it. But he's telling us in our life that he's looking for fruit because he was hungry. He's telling us that this world is hungry. The world is hungry for his truth, and he's wanting us to bear fruit. Even if you can only do a tuquash, we need to be able to do something when people's hungry to give them something. Because early in life, this is early. This is when the fig tree starts to come out. The little tuquash comes out. The leaves start coming out. You can give people something. And this is why the Father was saying we need to be able to give them something in our lives. Because we have the Torah. Because guess what? That is planted into the ground. It's planted into Yahweh. He's still the vine and we're still the branches. But when Yeshua came up to this tree and he saw that they didn't have any of these early figs, as we call them, then he cursed the tree because he knew the tree was like the one in the parable. It was barren. It would not bear fruit. So this is the reason, if you ever wanted to know, because I was glad to know, that's the reason why he cursed something that before the season. Even though the figs were not to be there, there were signs that the figs should have been there. And they were still things that were edible. Amen? Verse 14, it says this, and he said to it, may no one ever eat fruit from you again. And his disciples heard it. Now let's skip all the way down to verse 20. So you see, he saw it. He cursed it. He wasn't speaking to the disciples. He spoke to the tree. And he said, may no one eat ever, you know, fruit from you again. You done. So now he goes to verse 20, and it says, as they passed by in the morning, this is the next day, they saw the fig tree withered away to what? Its roots. And Peter remembered and said to him, Rabbi, look, the fig tree that you cursed is withered. Yeshua answered them and said, have faith in Elohim. This is now about faith. He's teaching them something. It's not about cursing a tree. It's about bearing fruit. He says, have faith, because it's impossible to please Yahweh without what? Faith. This is a faith issue now. This is not about a tree issue. This is about a faith issue. Truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and thrown into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will come to pass, it will be done for him. So he's telling us that we need to have faith. He is the very source and supplier of our needs. But I'm afraid that a lot of time, and I'm going to stand up here and testify to you also, there's some things I can pray for and it's easy to believe. There's sometimes we can pray and it ain't so easy to believe. You know, and so in our lives, this is what he's trying to tell us, that we need to build our faith daily. We need to work and we need to pray. We need to build it. And you know what? If you don't have the faith that you need to get through a certain situation, that's why Corinthians says you can have the gift of faith. Sometimes you need the gift of faith. That's what the Holy Spirit is for, is to give you a supercharge. He needs to give you faith on steroids to be able to get you to where you can believe. Because you know how many times did Yeshua said, your faith made you whole? It's our faith, it's our belief in him that brings the healing. Because Yeshua said, I have done nothing. I only say and do what my Father in heaven. But yet, he was faith, awesome faith. That's what Yeshua was. But he's trying to teach us, Peter, of all the disciples, Peter says, let me come out there on the water where you're at. He says, come on. Peter had enough faith that he got out of the boat, better than the other 11. And he got out of the boat and he started walking on water. But guess what happened? When the wave started hitting him a little bit, he got a little nervous. He took his eyes off of Yeshua and started looking at his circumstance. And when he started looking at his circumstances, he started to sink. And he cried out, what? Save me. Yeshua reached down his hand and he brought him right back up on the water, on top of the water with him. That's what happens, and this is what Yeshua is trying to tell us, is that we need to stay focused on him. If we stay focused on the world's, and believe me, the news has got enough out there to keep us distracted. Amen? He's trying to say, quit looking at the distractions of the world. If you look at that, that's not going to be what's going to cause you to walk on water. If you believe in that, you're going to drown. You're going to spend most of your time underwater spiritually, and that's what happens. He's wanting to get us up on top of the water with him that we can walk. And this is what he's talking about. This is a faith deal. Therefore, I tell you, whoever asks in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. And whenever you're standing in prayer, guys, this is the first thing he tells us to do. Is what? Forgive. First thing he tells us to do is forgive. Because there is something called the fruit of unforgiveness. And this is the killer. This is the roundup of all stuff, okay? Is unforgiveness. For if we end up with the fruit of unforgiveness in our life, because this is the first thing he's going to tell us that's going to hinder our receiving, is unforgiveness. And the thing is what do we usually go through? Think about it. When we go through Passover and when we go through Shavuot, we go through the Day of Atonement and we go through Passover. We have the month of Elul before that one, and then we go through Passover. It's about what? Repenting and forgiving, repenting. Because why? Because evidently there's an issue with it. Evidently there's things in our lives, people hurt our feelings, or something happens to us, and then we have an offense. We have more offense. I guess it's just what happens in our life. You know, I told one guy, I went and sat down with my field foreman one time. We was at work. Guy was mad at me. I done something. He was mad at me, and I told him I needed to go and I needed to fill out an accident report. He said, "What for?" I said, "I hurt somebody's feelings." You know what I'm saying? So it just beat him all out of shape. But you know what? I had to go, and I did. I went and I apologized, and I repented. I went and apologized to him. But I noticed that whenever I would do that, we become closer as friends. People that I really didn't care about, really didn't want to care about. I'm just being honest. They didn't like me. I didn't like them. I was fine with just not liking each other. I was here, like I said, the Father, he hired me to do a job. I mean, company hired me to do a job. But then I realized that was the wrong attitude, because I realized this fruit situation, that the thing about it is, I might be the only Yeshua they ever get to know or taste or see or anything. And so then I realized that I had to get my attitude, I had to have an attitude adjustment. And the Father put me through almost like, I'll show you, I'll do you like I do the olives. I won't just pickle you and put you in the jar. I'll make you virgin juice. I'll make you the oil. And what does that take? A lot of crushing. That takes a lot of crushing. I said, I got the picture. I'll be an olive. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes, but I'm just saying that that was the first thing. So I had to learn how to forgive. And I had to learn to go to people that wasn't believers, wasn't Christians, didn't care, didn't like me, but I had to humble myself when I was wrong and go, and I had to repent. But I'm telling you, the most phenomenal thing, I will say this, when I went offshore, we had 32 people on our crew, 32. Two of us believed in Jesus. Two of us believed in Yeshua. Two of us, one believed, I didn't know he, but he was well hidden. He had his hidden under a bushel. He was scared to be a believer. He just was. But there was two of us that I knew. But by the time in 5 years when I left that platform, 20 of the 32 had given their life to Yeshua. Is that not crazy? That's crazy. But you know what? He had to work, and that has no credit to me. But what happened was, is he was working on me, and he was hammering me and hammering me. And people was like, what is going on in your life? And all I was doing was sharing what the Father was doing with me. And I was sharing. I even had a guy, he got saved. He was a missionary 9 years in France. He got saved out there. He just got fired up. He said, I can't be offshore no more. I went, yeah, he was atheist. He was an atheist. He would argue with me. I said, I don't want to argue with you. Yeah, you're going to argue with me. You can't be going around and telling these people about Yeshua. You can't be telling them about that. You can't prove none of this stuff. I said, it's by faith. I can't prove it. I'm agreeing with you. Boy, that'd make him matter. You kind of, because he was a science major. But I tell you what, I didn't know this until he testified when we had the little blue church up here. A long time ago, he came and he ministered here. And he said something. And I didn't know this until that day. He said, if you've ever been offshore, and if you hadn't, it can get rough out there. Where seas are 15, 20 foot seas, wind 60, 70 miles an hour is beating and banging. You're rattling and rolling. You don't know what's, you know, you just think. I mean, we've been out there. It hadn't tumped over yet. So, but in the middle of the night, from time to time, in the darkest times, I would always hear my door open. And there was four of us that slept in a bunk room. I hear that door go. And you see the little hall light, they got emergency lights on in the hall. And, you know, you're sleeping, you're trying to, because you're thinking somebody's coming to wake you up because your platform's shut down. You got to go get it back online. You're thinking, in other words, like you guys get a call at night, somebody run over a power line. You hate to hear that phone ring at that time of night. Like, oh, my goodness. So you're used to when you hear that click, it's in you that you're going to get up because one of us is fixing to go to work. But I would hear this click, and then it would ease back shut. And that happened over a period of time, and I never knew why. But this gentleman, who was an atheist at the time, when it got really bad, he was coming and checking to see if I was still in the bunk. Because he thought the rapture had taken place. That's what he said. He thought the rapture had taken place, and that they were left there for tribulation, and tribulation started. But he could not sleep. An eighth. He could not sleep. I didn't know this for years until he testified up here. But he could not sleep because when, look, you just don't know. You just don't know because I had a piece. I had a piece. I had another deal, and I'll tell this one, I'm going to end with this. We was in a helicopter, and we were coming in from crew change. We was in a 412, a Bell 412. And if you ever know something about a helicopter, the reason why it flies, it beats the air in submission. That's how it flies. It ain't supposed to. It just does, like a bumblebee, I guess. But the thing about it is, but if a helicopter flips over, it can't loop. It's going to the ground. If it flips over, you can't recover that. So, and I know some of you probably seen some kind of televisions where all these things, that don't work. Don't get in one and let them try to flip one over. You're going to the ground. So anyway, we have pilots, and these pilots, what they would do is a lot of them were ex-Vietnam vets. And so that's what they were doing, and they were good. And we had a guy named John Silva. I'll say his name. He was a great pilot. And he was one of the ones that was flying that. They always had two, pilot, co-pilot. We had 12 of us in the helicopter plus them two. There's 14 of us, and we're coming in from, you know, we're all excited about coming in from work. You know, when it's time to go, when y'all go off on cruise, whenever you head in that big truck back to Loosedale, you feel good, you know. I'm feeling good about crew change. Well, all of a sudden, there was a storm, a front that was coming, and you know how they do. It was coming in an angle like this, and he was flying this way, and it was not even on radar. I'm sorry. It was on radar, but it wasn't scheduled in the forecast. It just came up. That front just came up. Hot coal hit each other, and it formed right there, and then they saw it. But the problem was, now I'm in the back. I'm in the very back. There's three rows of these. The doors are where the middle are. I'm in the back. So if we're going down in the water, you know, I have to, if the other ones don't get out, I don't get out. I mean, we go through all of this training where they would take us in a helicopter. They put us in a pool. They flip us upside down, and we all got to come out the sides and pop over. I mean, we're going through all that. So I'm already knowing if we go down, you know, me getting out of there is not looking good because I'm at the spot that you don't get out the best. So anyway, so we're doing it, and all of a sudden that wind hits that helicopter. And when it hit that helicopter, we started rolling. And we rolled until we got like this. Now, I'm sitting, now I'm praying. Don't get it wrong, I'm praying. And some of them, Holy Ghost praying. And most of them, Holy Ghost praying, are ones that don't even go to church. But I'm praying, and, you know. But that chopper rolled, and when it rolled, John Silva, he turned it, and he headed to the water. I said, oh, we're going in the water. But he headed, it just, now that was like a TV show, but he went right down to that water because we were up about 1,000 feet. He got almost on that water and he leveled out. And I mean, the salt waves, the spray, it was coming all up around. We were that close on the water as he pulled out of that. But he had to get down there he had to get down to where that wind could beat against that water to get us lift again because we had lost all of our lift. He knew what to do, and he pulled us out of that thing. Now, we all cheered, yay, and all that, and we got in there. But what happened was that I thought it was unique. The next week, when we got back offshore, everybody now is talking about that incident. You know, and they said, you know, man, we're sweating. And I know there was one guy, he had squeezed that seat to where he had his, I mean, he let go in the cushion just stayed there. I mean, he mashed that deal. He was a big boy. But when we got back, and I was sitting in there, you know, and they're all talking about, you know, we like to die, and, you know, it wasn't good, and I was scared. Well, I wasn't scared, and, you know, they doing all of that business. But the head lease operator who was there, he was sitting by the door. But he said this. He said, you know what? He said, I wasn't scared. And they said, you lying through your teeth. You lying, you know, all of that. And they telling other words that you can't say here. But they saying you lying. And you know what he said? He said, the reason why I wasn't scared, because I knew God wasn't going to kill him. That's what he felt. He pointed at me and he said, I knew we wasn't going to die because I knew God wasn't going to kill him. Is that crazy? Now that shows you, and that has nothing to do with me. But it shows you the perception of how you and your walk with Yahweh can impact people to where even if they know they have no hope, if they can be around you, they feel salvation. And that's what he felt. And he told me, and you, I can't tell you the guy's name. Some of you, Doug knows him, different ones. But the guy, when you talk about, when I first got on that platform, he said, I don't want you to tell me nothing about God. I don't want you witnessing. If I ever catch you witnessing to the people on company time, I'm going to have you fired. He went through the whole gamut with me. I said, I'm good with that. I said, y'all hire me to work. You didn't hire me to preach. But on my off time, I could minister if I'll answer questions. And that's what I did. I never went out trying to evangelize, but I learned back where I was at before, let the very life of Yeshua in you minister to people. And this guy, when it all, if I can hold it together, when it was said and done, we become one of the best friends. And he said, you know, something happened to him in life. But he said, you know what? He said, if I ever go to church, I'll go to one like yours. He said, because this world, because of whatever happened to him in his life, because he was raised Catholic, whatever happened to him in his life, something bad happened. And he hated religion. He hated religion. When I tell you with a passion, that's an understatement. But the thing about it is he still calls me today. He still calls me and checks and sees and all of that. You never know what your fruit, because guess what? It was the very seeds of Yeshua that was in that fruit that changed his life and is changing his life, and it's a process in their lives. Because I tell you what, no credit to me or anything like that, but if you've ever been offshore, if you ever work construction, these ain't the holiest guys that you'll ever want to be around. You know what I'm saying? But for 32 people to be out there and 20 of them give their life to Yeshua within a five-year period, you know, I was excited. That made me excited. But the Father had to show me and teach me, because guess what? I didn't pray for every one of them. Some of the ones that I prayed with, they prayed with, because they started seeing changes in their life. So it's scattering. It's just the way it works. So guys, I'm closing with this. Don't ever sell yourself short. Don't ever think that you don't mean anything. Don't ever think wherever you're working or whatever you're doing, if you can show, now I will tell you this, you can't force feed somebody Yeshua. All they're going to do is throw it back up on you. I'm just saying. But if you will let your life shine, I'm telling you, what happens is it will create a hunger, and they will eat one bite at a time. And let them eat one bite at a time. And you know, you can always be excited that they took that first bite, but at the same time, don't try to cram the apple down their mouth. Let them do it, because you know what? It's the Father doing it. Because you know what? They may take one bite from you and may take one bite from somebody else, and the Father gives the increase. So it is very, very, very important in our lives that this is what we do. We make students or learners. We can bring them into baptism, which brings them into purity and holiness. And then, guess what? Then we start teaching the Torah. We start walking out. And then they can draw close, because it's up to them to draw close. It's not for me to bring it to them, but they have to do it. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we just thank you. And I do thank you, Father, for the experiences that we all have had. But I pray, Father, that even today, that in this message, Father, that we could understand that we as fathers and mothers, how we sow into our own children, how we as aunts and uncles or friends of family, Father, how we here in this congregation sow into the lives of children, no matter what age we are. Father, bearing fruit is not determined, Father, in the latter years of our lives, of how much. And, you know, Father, because I know that you grow us at the pace that you have us to grow. Father, you nurture, you have Yeshua as our vine dresser, one who just digs and one who fights for us. But Father, you're asking us to also take that role to where we sometimes, where we need to dig around and we need to fertilize situations like where it says make disciples. Father, students and learners of the Torah for your sake. Father, I just pray that in this teaching, I pray, Father, that if all we can have is a taquash, if all we can have is just a little bit of starter fruit, let that be what we need. And Father, may next year we have a lot of them little things on there, and we always bear the figs. We always bear the fruit every year, a little bit more every year as we grow and we mature. And Father, continue to work with us in our lives. And Father, like you said, when we stand praying, first thing we need to do is forgive. We need not to let the fruit of bitterness or the fruit of unforgiveness in our life take root in any form or fashion and to let it grow. We need to lay an axe to that root. And Father, show us if we have unforgiveness towards anybody else, Father, that we can lay the axe to that root, Father. And may you grow us to where we have the fruits of the Spirit in our life and that they're evident in Yeshua's name. Amen.
One with the staff in their hand. Children will play in the streets of the city. And joy will be heard once again. I am telling all the songs.